Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk with you.
Mike, the rally in the markets, is this kind of I don't want to use the word false flag, but is it really true only five major stocks are holding up the whole affair?
Well, it is. We've seen this sort of thing happen in the past, but there is a good argument for what you just said. Obviously, in March, a lot of bank stocks crashed, and the Russell 2000 took a big hit. But what we're seeing is that inside the S&P 500, Apple and Microsoft really took off, and they're still doing well. And those two stocks heavily weight the S&P, and they heavily weight the NASDAQ. So Apple, for example, it started the month of March at 145, and it's currently trading right around 164. So that's a 20-point move in shares of Apple since the beginning of March. And the moves in those stocks, because they so heavily influence the indices, they helped offset the decline that all these bank stocks experience, and they're still down, and they don't look like they're going up. The stocks of these bank companies, their charts are all broken, and there's fundamental reasons now to think they're really not going to get much upside movement to them for quite some time. The data that came out last week shows that in the second half of March, we saw the biggest contraction in bank lending since 1990, even worse than what happened in 2008 in a short period of time. And now, since we last spoke, the IMF is warning of a global slowdown. And again, they're saying it'll be worse around the world than what happened in 2008. And now yesterday's release of the Federal Reserve minutes reveal that the Federal Reserve believes that we're headed for a mild recession by the end of the year in the United States due to these tightening bank lending conditions. Now, all that said, we are having a stock market rally being helped by these tech stocks. And I do think it could continue. We have traders, basically, they like to buy ahead of the rumor and sell the news when it comes out. And the good news that they're seeing is at some point, and it could be the next meeting or definitely the meeting thereafter for the Federal Reserve, they're not going to raise interest rates again, and they'll announce that, you know, they're going to pause, and really not, they're going to project they won't be raising rates for quite some time. They hope to hold them steady, but they could end up cutting them because of a coming recession at some point for the end of the year. So, you know, we've seen over the past, since 2008, that when the Fed pivots, so to speak, the stock market rallies. So people are basically positioning themselves ahead of that by buying these tech stocks. Now, the $20,000 question is, when the Fed eventually does pause, doesn't raise rates, does the market simply sell the news? And I think that's a high risk situation that people playing the rally have to be aware of, because when the market has a narrow rally led by just a few stocks, you know, at some point the stocks will peak out and there will be, you know, a decline, a return, I believe, to the lows of October. But, you know, I don't know when that rollover in the market is really going to take place. And as I'm speaking with you, I'm not trying to play it myself one way or the other. I simply see other easier ways to make money in this market than tech stocks where you're playing, you know, a temporary rally, or the S&P 500 for that matter too. Just easier bets to make.
And what are those easier ways?
Well, you know, I think, I mean, there's two. I mean, the simplest, where there's almost zero risk at this point, is buying very short-term bonds and CDs. Now, I'm not speaking of bond funds, because they go up and down in value with inflation and interest rates, but you can buy a 30-day to 90-day CD and make 4.5% or more guaranteed. And you don't have to worry about the stock market movement. Now, where you can get more money in a better long-term investment is in gold and silver, because gold and silver are now breaking away from the action in the stock market. They've both been outperforming the stock market now since January of 2022, and the mining stocks are now breaking away from the stock market action too. I use relative strength ratios to gauge this, and what that does is you take the price of one stock or fund or asset and divide it by another, and you can tell if something's outperforming or underperforming. And the GDX mining stock ETF is now outperforming the S&P 500. That ratio is making a new high for the year. And there's some mining stocks that are completely soaring. Wheat and precious metals, for example, which I do own a position in, is now at $52. In October, it was at 30. And there's some other mining stocks that are up 100%. Even more. And, you know, these big cap mining stocks, I think, are going to go up for the rest of the year. And this isn't just a short-term rally that could end in weeks or a couple months. But I think what we're looking at is a secular trend of outperformance relative to the stock market that's going to last for years. We last saw that from 2000 to roughly 2011. Before that happened in the 1970s. I think it's, you know, happening again, because we're in a systemic inflationary environment, even though, yes, the CPI has come down to 5%, but it's still at five annualized CPI. It's still at 5%, still a very high level. It's probably going to go down a little more over the coming months as the economy does slow down, but when the Fed lowers rates, as all the bulls are expecting and hoping and buying into one day, the problem with that is that inflation is likely to return and explode again, you know, start to go up probably next year, and that's going to benefit gold and silver. So gold and silver is the way not only to protect yourself from inflation and turmoil, volatility in the financial markets, but because they're outperforming the S&P 500, it's not simply store value and safety, but a way to beat the market. And if you want to beat the market, you want to be in those things that are doing that. Now, the thing about that sector is that at the moment, most of the small cap mining stocks have not exploded and gone up as much as these big cap mining stocks. And that's an opportunity, because typically what happens when you have a gold and mining stock rally is the big cap mining stocks go up first and some money starts to trickle in to small cap mining stocks. But as the rally develops, then more money trickles in because people don't want to buy stocks like wheat and precious metals and so forth that have doubled. And they start to look for the small cap mining stocks that haven't gone up as much. And then they start to move and the rally starts to mature. So I think that's, you know, where we're at now, and there's a buying opportunity for those that want to take it in finding the right small cap mining stock.
With that in mind, is one of the reasons mining stocks are going up is that we need to have strategic metals, and also with gold and silver, are they a hedge against an unsure banking system?
Oh, yeah, I think all of that is a big element of it. You know, with the banking system, it's also impacting the U.S. dollar, which took a hit in October. It peaked out. The dollar had a rally last year because the Fed was raising rates. And then when they slowed down the pace of the rate hikes starting in the fall, the dollar rolled over. We had a temporary short-term bounce of the dollar from February to March. But since that bank news hit, the dollar's gone back down to those February lows. And that's bullish for gold and silver. And more banking news will have the same impact because it means the Fed can't be aggressive in raising these rates anymore. So we're really in a perfect scenario, I think, for the metals and the strategic situation with lithium and some of these other base metals helps the overall sector. It does help some of these small cap mining stocks that specialize in those more than the big cap mining stocks. There's really few big cap mining stocks that specialize just in strategic metals. But frankly, I don't really know of any. So it's going to bring more interest into the sector as this develops. We've seen that in the past. We've seen, you know, segments of the small cap world really take off. We saw that with uranium stocks now about almost 10 years ago that started. And we've seen it with marijuana stocks. We've seen whiffs of it in these strategic metals. I think it's going to return to the world of strategic metals. And another thing I think that's going to bring more interest in it is that we still have a lot of people out there that, unfortunately for them, believe that crypto and Bitcoin is going to make them rich, that it's linked into, it's a safe haven that acts similar to gold and silver that will benefit from volatility in the financial world. But that's a false premise. Yes, it's true that we are getting a crypto rally, but that crypto rally is simply what these rallies have always been. And that is a rally that is closely linked to the NASDAQ. It has nothing to do with the action in the U.S. dollar. You can draw and do mathematical correlation analysis comparing the price behavior of Bitcoin with the dollar, with gold in other markets, and it still remains most closely correlated with the NASDAQ. And what this means is that Bitcoin is likely to continue to go up as it has done since November, but the rally has nothing to do with the dollar, nothing to do with banks, and everything to do with the NASDAQ, with Tesla, Action in NVIDIA, Apple, Microsoft. And when that rally ends and the NASDAQ and those stocks, Bitcoin too will roll over and go into another one. It's one of its death spirals. Why do I bring this all up? Because these crypto people, when this happens the next time, it'll happen, because that's what crypto does, collapses. They will then realize and look and see that, oh, just about the only thing going up is silver and gold. And then finally, those crypto players will see that silver and gold is the true salvation in the financial system, the true safe haven and the only game in town, and they'll finally start to play in that game, something they have failed to do, but they'll finally, I believe, become players in it before the end of this year.
Well, I recall about 10 years ago, they were calling gold nothing more than shiny rocks. Why would you put any money in it?
Yeah, I mean, they come up with these crazy phrases and theories. In the end, I look at mathematics. It's mathematics, you know, these correlation analysis is not a theory. It's a fact of what's going on. Has no relationship to Forex, global Bitcoin and crypto, that is, to currency movements. It's just a speculative asset. I think of it as a call option on the NASDAQ. But in speculative markets, what people do is they create stories to explain the price movements and dream of reasons for it to continue and make them rich. They did the same thing in 2017, and they did the same thing in 2020. Every single time, they're told, you know, speculators come up and say, this time is different, everything is changing. You saw that with the meme stocks in 2021, now it's been over 2 years ago. But we were told at that moment when the game stopped, AMC had a giant move, and that was the final speculative fervor of that huge rally that started in 2020. But we were told that this was evidence that Robinhood players and traders and were going to take over the markets and rule and defeat Wall Street, which was a joke, and it turned into be a cruel joke because that was the top of that speculative fever, and we're in a rally. It had the top of the rally, and end of it hasn't come yet, but it will. Just we've been talking together now for a long time and seen this over and over again.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, what do you see happening with crude?
Well, I do think crude is kind of in a sideways range for the moment. Short term, I think it's likely to rally a bit more. Maybe, I mean, currently it's around $83 a barrel. I can see it going above 90, possibly up to 95. If we've had a little rally now for about a month. You know, it got above 120 and fell to 65. In March, when that bank news hit, now it's around 84. But I think after, you know, typically seasonally, crude rallies into July and then has a peak into the fall and makes a new bottom. I think that's likely to play out again. Simply because I think the economy is going to slow down in the second half of this year. And I think that will, you know, globally, limit oil demand. I don't think that means oil is going to crash, but just be in a trading range, which is fine. I think that, you know, in the end, I do think the energy stock will actually do what they've been doing also with that the mining stocks have, and that is outperform the S&P 500. And a lot of them pay really good dividends. So I think they're good long-term investments too. But I think the overall trend after the current move ends, which historically seasonally happens in July, I think we'll have a breather in the space, another entry point for the end of the year. But I think it's a good long-term investment, you know, energy stocks for the years to come.
Anything else you're keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, along with energy and crude, I'm also looking at agriculture commodities, and one way to track them is the DBA ETF, and they're kind of moving a little bit similar to crude. They had a big rally last year and then rolled over in May, and this DBA ETF has basically been going sideways ever since, and I wouldn't be shocked if it you know, if it goes sideways the rest of the year, and then has a buying opportunity, or really put it this way, has the start of another really big rally next year. Maybe we get a low in the fall or first quarter of next year, and then another big move up. So in a way, what I'm trying to say is that I believe, you know, the inflation headline numbers will continue to look a little better. Commodities as a whole will likely continue to be sideways. But I think we'll have a new trough in commodities and then the start of another big rally next year and return of inflation. So that's really, perhaps you could say, a big trade I'm looking at for the long term to develop. But, you know, it's only April right now, so I'm looking real far ahead when I speak that way.
We're seeing battery mega factories being set up around the world. Does that mean there's going to be a super high demand for lithium?
Yeah, most likely. I mean, this is a trend that's been talked about now for the past couple of years. So I don't know how much more. I'm not an expert in it. I don't know how much more demand is going to grow. But there's also pushback coming, too. I saw a survey that said 70% of Americans do not want a robot car or an EV car. They just don't want anything to do with it. So I think, you know, there is growing pushback of rejection of this kind of stuff, too. So I don't think it's unlimited demand.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.